this particular subject that I want to talk about was put, that slide was actually put in there for you. So, no, in truth, we're really not going to talk about that, but there's a subject that I do want to talk about, and that is of backsliding. And it's something that I've heard talk about a bunch here in just the recent months, of someone saying, well, you know, so-and-so, he's a backslider. That was for you, Bill. Oh, you just can't trust so-and-so because he's a backslider and they're a backslider and this person's a backslider and everybody's a backslider. You just can't trust them. And this term backsliding had been used, and I said, you know, that might make an interesting lesson, and what can we make of it? And so as I began to look into this term backslider, I thought that it would be interesting if we just looked at what we would call the anatomy of a backslider. Things that make up a backslider, these little things and characteristics, if you will, that people that have a backsliding tendency will tend to have. And maybe today, as we look at this anatomy of a backslider, we will see some of these characteristics, and we can say, you know, maybe I have that characteristic, and I need to do something about it before I end up in the same spot that this person who's a backslider is. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." What is a backslider? Well, it comes from the Hebrew word 5472, sug, and it's a primitive root properly to flinch, that is, by implication, to go back, literally to retreat, or figuratively to apostatize. Backslider, drive, go back, turn away, or turn back. And so whenever we're talking about a backslider then, if we're talking about a backslider, that's someone who has turned away from something and went to something else. Whenever we apply the term backslider in a spiritual sense, we're then talking about someone who has turned away from God and left God, who has turned their back on God, who has turned back or gone back from it. And this isn't necessarily a lesson that is built away of can a child of God fall from grace or not, but I just find it strangely coincidental that you can look in the Bible and find a certain term such as backslider and say, hey, here's the term right here. And the term literally means to turn back from or to backslide. And that's literally what it means, just to retreat from. And so whenever you look at Proverbs and you start studying things about Israel and you see how they were, you can see how Israel had backslid against God time after time again. Read Ezekiel for a lot of that. But that's besides the point. I think what we have there, though, if you will, you see right there as he says, the backslider in heart. And whenever we start talking about someone that's a backslider, what's the problem that they got? Well, the problem that they got is not something of something strange, but it's literally that of the heart. It's a heart problem. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 19, "For out of the heart proceed evil things." And it's a evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. He would say, these are the things that defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. He was talking about the things that come from their heart. The heart problem. The things that defile a man, the things that made a person leave God or depart from God was that of the heart condition. Where was our heart? You see, because we sometimes place our heart on the things in this world, whether it's wealth or property or whatever it is, our jobs, we place these things before Him. Some people get addicted to things. There's gambling nowadays. You know, that's the craziest thing. Maybe not for this lesson, but there's gambling spots almost everywhere you can look now. Every county that I know of is going wet, and so there's beer problems now and alcoholism just being spread rampant. The whole Ashley Madison thing. I mean, there's problem after problem, but whenever you boil it down to the bare essential of what it is, it comes down to the heart. So if we look at the term in the simplest term that we can get it, what is a backslider? A backslider is someone that departs from God and goes back into sin. Second Peter would say it like this: for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And there are those terms again. They are again entangled therein, to turn from. That's the whole anatomy of a backslider. Grabbing a hold of these things that they were once a part of. Going back to them. How do we stop it? How do we prevent it? As he says in verse 22, it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow to the that was washed to the wallowing in the mire. You know, whenever we start looking at the anatomy, if you will, the characteristics, if you will, of someone who is a backslider, you start noticing some of these characteristics that stick out to them. Like, this person has this as a problem. For instance, they might have pride as a problem. Have you ever known anyone that was real prideful? They're wrong, and they know that they're wrong, but they won't admit that they're wrong or anything like that. Pride is a problem sometimes. Jesus would say in Mark 14, verse 27, speaking of Jesus, of Peter here, and the rest of the apostles in a little bit, he says, and Jesus said unto them, all of ye shall be offended of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. You start considering the anatomy of a backslider just for a moment. Okay, now we're going to just grab a hold of Peter and study him just for a moment. You see, Peter, whenever he wrote that in 2 Peter, if we can go back to it, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, why would Peter say such a thing? It's because Peter was once in this same boat. He was in the same boat of denying Jesus. And that's what we're going to see here. Whenever Jesus stood here in Mark and he told him, hey, I'm telling you, you're going to be offended because of me this night. It's written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. And Peter said, no, everyone else might, but I'm not going to. And he began to speak the more vehement. Oh yes, Peter, you're going too. And he said, no, even if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. You see, his pride. Just listen to Jesus. Jesus knew what he was talking about. Oh no, Jesus, this isn't going to happen. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 16:18 that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You see, Peter was actually heading toward a fall. He just didn't know it yet. Pride. It's not necessarily something that if you have pride today, that means that you are a backslider, but this is a characteristic of a backslider. And if you have pride, we need to study a little bit about humility. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 18, verily I say unto you, except you should be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Being humble. Humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Another characteristic we're going to see is, particularly of Peter here, is that of laziness. You see, we become lazy in our service to God. Generally, Monday through Friday, I try to get a little bit of reading time in going before work. And then after work, I'm determined. I'm going to get my sermon hammered out. I'm going to start on it. I'm going to get half of it done. I'm going to read, at least read. By the time I get home, I'm at least going to read. And then whenever I get home, then the kids want to play. And I say, well, I better play with the kids for a little bit. And then by about 9 o'clock, I say, well, you know, it's bedtime. You know, I'm just going to lay here on the couch. I'm going to read. And before long, you know, I get a few verses in. And I say, you know, if I'm just going to close my eyes for a little bit, and then I'll get some reading done after that. And then before you know it, I'm waking up, and it's the next morning. We tend not to get so tired whenever it's something that we want to do. It might be a movie that I want to watch, and I want to watch this movie pretty bad, right? And so I'm excited. I'm going to sit up there and I'm going to watch this movie. Unless it's something that Lori wants to watch, and then in which case I'll be back in the same boat of wanting to go back to sleep. But you know, if it's what I want to do, then I'm pumped up for it. I'm ready for it. But whenever I get home, it's the same type of principle that I'm trying to grab at for you, us here. It's if we really, really are pumped up and want to do it. This is what I want to do. I want to read a chapter before I go to bed. I'm going to get that chapter out because I want to do it. But if you start in on it, you know, you might be a little bit tired. You start in on it and then all of a sudden your eyelids start getting a little bit heavier. Maybe I'm not the only one in that boat. And we start to get a little bit lazy in just our daily reading. Maybe it's our daily prayer. Mark chapter 14, 32 now. He says, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Jesus saying that the flesh was willing, but the spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. And he says, and again he went and he prayed and spake the same words. And he returned again and found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, rise up. Let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Now Jesus, prior to this, had given Peter, James, and John their instruction. I want you to watch with me. I want you to tarry with me just this 1 hour. And whenever he came back, he found them sleeping. And he said, couldn't you just watch with me just 1 hour? Just 1 hour. Well, sure. They were probably thinking, now I don't want to insert words into their mouth or thoughts into their own heads there, but maybe they were thinking, hey, Jesus has been fine up to this point. No one's been able to take him up to this point. He's escaped time after time. I'm sure if someone came to try to get him again, that it's going to be the same way. Maybe they were getting a little lax in their studying with Jesus and in their time with Jesus. Could you not watch with me just 1 hour? And he tells them, watch ye and pray. What will happen if you get lazy in it, lest you enter into temptation? You see, they got lazy in their service. And so laziness, if we have that characteristic today, no, it doesn't mean I'm not up here calling you a backslider, but if we have that characteristic of it, we're headed down a path toward it. He says, but watch yourselves lest your hearts be weighed down. Wait, it's your hearts. You see, it all goes back to that heart. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Talk about just staying awake, being ready. Don't let laziness take over what we ought to be doing in our service to the Lord. What cowardice? I fought for a little bit as to whether or not I should word it that way or if I should say it that way, but cowardice. You know, we need to take a firm stand for what we believe in, especially in today's society. And it's becoming increasingly more and more unpopular to take that stand and to announce publicly that you're a Christian, that you believe in God, that you believe in creation rather than evolution, or that you want to pray in public or anything like that. These things are just so unpopular now with the far left that it's crazy. The extremes that they go to try to get you to be afraid to take that stand. But here Peter was, as we're looking at Peter, talking about what just happened with Jesus as they came. And now they took Jesus, and it says in Mark 14:54, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and they sat with the servants and warmed himself by the fire, or at the fire. There Peter wasn't even brave enough to, no, wait, where are you going with him? Sure, at first he was. He had his sword out, but put your sword away, Peter, you know. And then Peter took off whenever they grabbed him and took off with him. But he wanted to know what would happen, and so he followed a far away off just to see. There was a little bit of cowardice there. Jesus would say in Mark 8:38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also the Son of Man shall be ashamed of him when he cometh in his glory of his Father and with his holy angels. One day Jesus is going to come back. And I hope whenever he does, that I hadn't been ashamed of him in this generation. That whenever the time was right for me to stand up and take a stand for God, that I was brave enough to and proud enough, if you will, to say, yes, I am a Christian. No, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Paul wasn't. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel, and he was ready to preach it, and maybe we ought to have that same attitude. Cowardice will lead us away from God. If we're afraid to say that we're a part of Him. Worldliness. It says, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. You see, he was warmed by that fire there. He was warm with the servants of the palace there. And he hung around with these worldly people there. And Paul would tell us about being with worldly people. He says, be not deceived. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. You see, sometimes we hang around with the wrong people and they tend to rub off on us. And they tend to make us to act certain ways that we know better than to act. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 27 says, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Whenever we grab a hold of worldliness and won't let it go. There's people out there who want to serve God, but they also don't want to let go of what they had before. And we can't have it both ways. So whenever we grab a hold of the worldliness, then it tends to lead us away from God. It's another step toward the direction of that. And if we have a problem with worldliness, we really need to try to correct it today. Get it out of our lives because of where it leads us to. Denial. Now here comes Peter in his moment of glory. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. Then he went into the porch, and the cock crew. Just for a moment, you think whenever Peter heard that cock crow, you think that would have set him off, some kind of little bell would have rattled. Oh wait, I better not do that again because Jesus said it's going to... I don't guess he got that. Because here he was again, and the maid came and saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again, Peter, surely thou art one of them. For thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. I don't know him. Began to curse and to swear. I swear to you, I don't know him. And probably in more colorful language than that. He denied him. Once we hit that stage of denial, we have hit the term backslider. And now if Peter was ever going to be considered a backslider, here he is because he don't know this man. I don't know him. I've never seen him before. I just came to see what all the ruckus was about. What about you? Do you deny Jesus today? Do you deny him to your worldly friends? Do you act like your worldly friends whenever you're around them rather than being the godly influence that they should see? Do you stand up for God? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Look at the conclusion here. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1, he says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Give heed to the things that we've heard. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How are we going to escape? If we were to continue reading there and Mark reading the account there of Peter, you remember Peter after he's denied Jesus and after he went out and wept bitterly after denying him, he didn't turn right there and say, you know, I'm going to serve him. He said, I'm going fishing. And he turned around and went back fishing. And of course, here come Jesus and saying, cast your net over there. And whenever Peter realized that it was the Lord, now that's the Lord, Peter was in such a hurry just to get back to the Lord, to serve him. And in John 21, Peter would stand there before Jesus and Jesus would say, Peter, do you love me? And Peter would say, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He said, Peter, feed my lambs. He said, Peter, do you love me, Lord? You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. And he answered, asked him again the third time, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter was ready. After learning the lesson the hard way, after denying Jesus, after taking all these steps back away from God, after landing in this pit of sin, he loved Jesus. He was ready to go forth and serve him. Now, as you think about that, he was a sinner and he came back to God. The Bible says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, as you think about your own life today, you think about those steps, the laziness, the worldliness, the fact of just denying Jesus by our lifestyle. You think about those steps and you consider yourself, do you have some of those steps? Are you on that road? If you are, hey man, the time to turn around is now. While you got the chance, before you hit that bottom.